We read the inspired word of God this morning from Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Word of God in Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning, and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows, and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me, and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Text for our sermon this morning is verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, many of the psalms are songs of praise to God, and many of the psalms are psalms of prayer to God. We have that in the last psalms here at the end of the book of Psalms. Psalms 145 to 150 are psalms of praise to God. Many of them begin that way, praise ye the Lord. And then right before that, in Psalms 140 to 144, you have psalms of prayer to God, where the psalmist lifts up petitions to the Heavenly Father. And we have that in the psalm that we consider this morning, in Psalm 144. This is a psalm that is a prayer to God. Specifically, it's the prayer of David as king on behalf of his kingdom. In the psalm, David as king expresses gratitude to God that God in the past has given to the kingdom victory over their enemies. Some speculate that David wrote this psalm after God had given victory over Goliath. Whatever the case may be, there's an expression of thanksgiving that God in the past has protected the kingdom by giving them victory. And throughout the psalm, the psalmist expresses continued trust and dependence upon God to provide for the kingdom and to continue to preserve and give victory over their enemies. Then at the end of the psalm, in verses 12 to 15, David expresses what is the concern that stands behind this desire for victory. And to summarize what those verses are saying at the end, David's concern is for the peace and the prosperity of the kingdom. David is not a man who goes out to fight simply because he likes to fight. David fights always with this greater purpose in view, which is the peace and the prosperity of the kingdom. It's flourishing. And David describes in these verses, in earthly terms, what that peace and prosperity might look like and what he prays to God for. He talks about the fact that the flocks and the herds are flourishing in the kingdom, that the garners, the barns are filled with all manner of food for God's people, that there's no enemies that are coming in to attack, and there's no captives of God's people that are being led away. But what he mentions first has to do with the sons and the daughters of the kingdom. Amongst all of these things that represent the flourishing of the kingdom, there's this that's first and this that is his chief concern. And that's not for the flourishing of the harvest, and it's not for the flourishing of the flocks and the herds, but it's the flourishing of the sons and the daughters of the kingdom. That the sons of his kingdom might grow up like strong, healthy plants, and that the daughters of the kingdom are like cornerstones that adorn the palace of the king. This is a fitting word of God for us to consider this morning on the occasion of infant baptism, and especially where we've witnessed the baptism not only of a son, but also of a daughter. What this word of God reminds us of is that there is this great goal that we have in all of our care of our own children and the concern that we have for all of the children of the church. What we aim at in all of that work is the spiritual growth and the spiritual flourishing of the sons and daughters of the spiritual kingdom of the church. That's our great concern. Concern for the future of the church and the future generations of the kingdom of God. What the passage reminds us of is that an important part of our concern and rearing of the children of the kingdom is that we pray for them. Parenting is more than instruction, it's more than being a good example, it's more than discipline. It is all of those things, but an important element of our rearing of our children is that we pray for them. And this passage teaches us again the beauty of the work of God as the faithful covenant-keeping God who's pleased to gather his children from amongst ours and to cause them to grow and to flourish so that our sons are like strong and healthy plants and our daughters are like beautiful stones that adorn the palace of a king. Let's consider this word of God under the theme, a prayer for our sons and daughters. First of all, let's consider the content, secondly, the reason, and then thirdly, the confidence. In the psalm, David prays on behalf of the coming generations of his kingdom. And he mentions first the sons of the kingdom. And the prayer is this, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. The scriptures often refer to God's people and to the children of believers in terms of plants. For example, in Psalm 128, verse 3, a versification in which we just sang, the Word of God there says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." And then in Psalm 1, in verse 3, the psalm doesn't refer there specifically to children, but to all of God's people in terms of there being plants. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." For the sake of illustrating this truth this morning, think in terms of a tall, majestic oak tree. For that plant to grow and be healthy, it's necessary that it have roots. It needs to be deeply rooted in the ground in order that it can remain stable and standing when storm and wind press against it. It needs to be deeply rooted in order that by those deep roots it can draw up the necessary nutrients and water out of the ground that's necessary for it to grow and flourish, even in the midst of famine conditions. For that tree to be healthy and strong, it has to have deep roots. It's necessary also for that plant that in its maturing, there's nothing that happens in order to stunt its growth. There's something that comes that harms the plant in its youth, that stunts its growth, it won't reach up to its full height and potential. And now, to change the figure just a little bit, what we see in many trees that's the representation of their health is that they bear good fruit. Now think perhaps in terms of an apple tree. The representation of the health and the growth of that apple tree is that it bears good fruit. David is using this illustration with respect to the sons of his kingdom. He desires victory over the enemies of the nation so that the sons of the kingdom can grow up strong and healthy like strong and healthy trees. He wants sons that are deeply rooted. He wants sons that aren't stunted in any way in their growth, in their youth. He wants sons that bear good fruit. That's our concern for the sons of the spiritual kingdom of God, the church. That's our concern for our own sons and grandsons. There's a temptation on the part of our sons themselves, not to take spiritual things and spiritual growth seriously. They think perhaps that's something to be put off for when they're much older. Their concern is perhaps only about sports or about video games. And there's a danger as well on our part as parents that we make excuses for that in our sons. Someone might say, that's just the way it is with sons. They grow and mature at a much slower level than the daughters do. Or someone might say something like this, oh, that's just the way boys are. Boys will be boys, and that's just the way we are, and that's okay. But the Word of God doesn't make such excuses. The Word of God doesn't excuse away that lack of concern for spiritual growth, but the Word of God here holds before us as parents and grandparents and as a church of Jesus Christ and before our sons that their concern already in their youth is that they grow up spiritually. That spiritual things and spiritual responsibilities are on their mind, are a concern of theirs. Our desire for our sons is that they be deeply rooted. Those deep roots refer to faith and trust in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another passage of God's Word indicates that. Jeremiah 17, Verses 7 and 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The deep roots of our sons are genuine faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That includes, of course, the element of knowledge, but we may limit it just to that. Our sons can have heads that are filled with all kinds of knowledge and yet not really be deeply rooted. Faith is not only knowledge, it's confidence, it's trust in God. Our desire for our sons is that they have a deeply rooted faith, a real living faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's that alone that grounds them. It's those deep roots in the Lord Jesus Christ that alone keep them stabilized and standing when all of the storm winds of life blow upon them. And it's only by those deep roots of faith that our sons draw up out of Christ the life-giving water and nourishment that they need, even in the midst of famine-like conditions and the hardships of life, so that they continue to grow and to flourish. Our desire for our sons is that in no way do they be stunted in their growth in their youth by any harm or by any of their own sin that in any way hinder them as they grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our desire for our sons is that they bear good fruit to the glory of God. You can tell a corrupt tree that's sick and decaying by the corrupt fruit that it produces. And a good tree is shown by the good fruit that it produces. And what we want for our sons is that as good, healthy trees, they bear good fruit. That they bear good fruit. And that they evidence love for God. That they bear good fruit in being strong in their own spiritual walk with God. That they grow up according to the will of God and they be good husbands who love their wives well. We desire for our sons that they, according to the will of God, be fathers who lead their homes and their families in a strong spiritual way. We desire for our sons that they use their gifts in the service of the kingdom, the church of Christ, that they work hard as employees at their job. This is the most important thing for us with respect to our sons. What's most important is not that they succeed in athletics, and it's not that they become a very successful businessman and are extremely wealthy. Our desire for our sons is that they grow up in their youth as healthy plants, as strong oak trees. So that as parents and as grandparents, this is our prayer for our sons and for our grandsons, and as the Church of Jesus Christ, this is our prayer on behalf of the sons of the kingdom. God grant sons that grow up as healthy oak trees in their youth. David prays not only for the sons of the kingdom, he also prays for the kingdom's daughters. And the prayer is this, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Sense of that could be translated this way, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, or some say corner pillars, pillars at the corner, that are cut or hewn for the structure of a palace or a temple. Not only do the scriptures often describe God's people in terms of their being plants, it also often describes God's people using the illustration of a building or a temple. couple of examples, Ephesians 2, verses 20 and 21, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And then 1 Peter 3, verses 4 and 5, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. David describes the daughters of the church in terms of their being precious stones in the palace of the king. Those stones would have been carefully cut out of a quarry so that they would fit in the exact place that they needed to be in the building. Those stones would rest upon the cornerstone so that there's a strong foundation underneath which squares the whole of the building, which serves to hold up and to support the whole of the building. And these stones are cornerstones or pillars that stood at the corners of the building. And what those cornerstones serve to do is they serve to tie the building together, to join up the sides and the walls of the building, and they were a demonstration of beauty. They were very obvious, able to be seen, so that they were a demonstration of the adornment of this palace. David prays that the daughters of the kingdom would be such cornerstones in the king's palace. It's striking that David prays that. We might expect, in looking at Psalm 144, where David is talking about war and enemies and victory, that his prayer would be, give strong sons to fight in the army. And not mention anything about the kingdom's daughters. Well, that's not the case here. David and the Church of Jesus Christ not only values her sons, but values just as highly her daughters. We desire strong sons that grow up as oak trees. We desire also daughters as cornerstones. And David's point in referencing the daughters as cornerstones is that, like cornerstones, it's the daughters who join together the family of God, who bring together the different parts of God's body. And it's the daughters who, by their spiritual adornment, adorn the palace of God in their beauty. And that's our prayer for the daughters of the kingdom as well. We pray that God raise up from amongst our homes and families daughters who are cornerstones in the palace of the king. Our prayer for our daughters is that they grow up to know that they're chosen and they're precious in the eyes of God. That they're precious and valued not because of how they look, not because of how they dress, not because of what others say about them and the affirmation that others give of them, not because of what they've accomplished and what they've done, but that they know in confidence their value, their preciousness in the eyes of God, the fact that they're chosen of God and precious, that they're loved of the Father, and that their beauty is the beauty of the work of Jesus Christ within them. Our prayer for our daughters is that they be cut and shaped and polished by God for their specific place of purpose in the kingdom. That they're molded by God in His sanctifying work of them so that they come to know and are able then to serve in the specific position that God has given to him in his beautiful temple that he's building. And our prayer for our daughters is that they rest upon the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of Psalm 144 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength." And literally the idea there is my rock. Our prayer for our daughters is that they rest upon the rock, God, their Father, the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that like our sons whose roots are the deep roots of faith and trust in Christ, our daughters also rest in faith and trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. As the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we value the daughters of the kingdom. Let it never be the case in the church of Christ, in our homes and families, that we have the attitude, "Not another daughter. Sure wish God would give a son." But our delight is that God gives daughters. And our prayer on behalf of those daughters is that they would be cornerstones polished in the palace of the King. Happy is that people that is in such a case. That's the way that this psalm ends. Happy is the kingdom of God to receive from God such sons and such daughters. It's that concern for the kingdom and the generations of the kingdom of heaven that leads us to cry out to God and to pray this petition on behalf of our sons and daughters. This prayer is an expression of trust and dependence upon God, who alone is able to perform this work. That's the reason for this petition that David offers. Throughout the psalm, in reference to the victory, David indicates that God is the one who gives the victory and on whom God's people are dependent. Verse 2, David heaps together a number of phrases to describe God and his care of his people. "My goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." Verses 3 and 4, David expresses the weakness of man, how undeserving he is, and how God takes thought of his people and cares for them. Verse 7, David prays, "Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me." And very similar language in verse 11. And then in verse 10, David prays, "It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword." All of that language David is conveying, we're dependent upon God to give this victory. And that's the very nature of prayer. The very nature of prayer is we're expressing by that our own weakness and our own inability and our total dependence upon God to accomplish this work. David prays in dependence upon God to give the victory and prays that God be the one to raise up such sons and daughters. So also are we as parents, and as the Church of Jesus Christ, dependent entirely upon God to perform this work in our sons and daughters. As any parent will readily attest, the work of rearing children is some of the most difficult and taxing of work. We might be tempted to think, when we don't yet have any children, that we understand what's involved in parenting. We might be able to write the book on what it means to parent children. And then when God's given us children, we come to realize we can't write that book. The challenges, the difficulties that we face seem to us more than we're able to understand. Besides the weaknesses and the sins that we have to deal with in our own children, there's our own weaknesses and sins. We don't teach our children as regularly and consistently as we ought. We know our life is not always the example that it should be. We don't discipline our children as patiently and as consistently as we should. The busyness of life so overwhelms us that at the end of a day, the most that we can say is, we're glad our children were fed and clothed and they're alive for another day. And the conscientious parent then might question, am I doing enough? Am I doing it right? And what we need impressed upon our souls is the reality that God is the one who works. We're dependent upon God to raise up sons as oak trees and daughters as polished stones in the king's palace. God alone knows who are his own, having chosen them in eternity, having given them to his son Jesus Christ. God alone is able to work in them new life. God alone is able to give them the gift of faith whereby their roots are deep down into Christ and they rest upon Christ, the cornerstone. God alone is able to give them spiritual growth so that they grow as plants and they're shaped and molded as stones for their place in the palace. And that ought to live in our hearts and souls. And in such a way that drive us to our knees in prayerful dependence upon God. If we're not praying often, regularly for our children, does that mean that we think we don't need God? That we're not dependent upon God to do this work? That we're the ones who are going to accomplish this great work in them in our own wisdom and strength? God alone is the one who's able so to touch the hearts of our children. And therefore, an important part of our parenting of them is our prayer on their behalf. That regularly, often, we're praying to God on behalf of our children that God would raise up sons as healthy plants and daughters as precious stones. And that's not just parents and it's not just grandparents who pray that, although they should and they do. Well, that's a prayer of the whole of the Church of Christ, all who are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, those who are single, those who are married and don't have any children, those who are aged, widowed. This is the concern that we all have for the future generations of the kingdom and the church. It does not mean that we sit by passively doing nothing as parents. God does use us as means and instruments in his hand. David acknowledges that with respect to the battle and the victory. Verse 1, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. David knew that the victory was wholly of God. That didn't lead David to just sit down and do nothing. David was taught by God to go out to war and to battle, and knowing that God was the one who used him to give the victory to his people. And the same applies to us as parents in the care of our children. God is pleased to use us as parents as the primary means and instrument in His hand for the spiritual good and the spiritual growth of our children. And as conscientious parents, then we devote ourselves to that calling. Far from sitting back and doing nothing, we spend ourselves on behalf of our covenant children to teach them faithfully, to live our life as an example for them, to discipline them when they sin. And in all of that, to seek to demonstrate to them and our love for them, the love of the Heavenly Father. But as we do that, we do so prayerfully. In our hearts, knowing our total dependence upon God, that He alone, by His grace and by His Spirit, is able to raise up such sons and daughters. Parents, work hard. And then while you work in the rearing of your children, pray. In prayer, look to and depend upon God alone, who alone can work in the hearts and lives of your children. A prayer we lift up to God in confidence. And the way in which that confidence is expressed here is somewhat unique. The way in which that's conveyed in the psalm is the fact that this prayer is the prayer of David as the king of the kingdom. And David, of course, as king of the kingdom, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the conquering king of His spiritual kingdom, the church. This prayer in the end, then, is not just David's prayer on behalf of the children of the kingdom, but this is the prayer of the king himself, Jesus Christ, on behalf of His blood-bought children. Jesus Christ loves the children of His kingdom. He demonstrated that in so many ways in His earthly ministry, but especially when He gathered the children into His arms. He put His hands upon them and He blessed them and He said, "Of such is the kingdom of God." Jesus Christ intercedes at the right hand of the Father presently for the children of His kingdom. And not only is He praying on their behalf, but Jesus Christ as the King of the kingdom is powerfully working in the chosen children. He's applying unto them all of the blessings of salvation that He merited for them. He's working by His Spirit so that they do grow up as plants and are polished as stones. And that on the basis of His saving work for them at the cross. His interceding on behalf of the children of His kingdom, His blessing them with the blessings of the kingdom, is the certain application to them of His atoning death on their behalf at the cross, having been given them from eternity of the Father. He laid down His life for them at the cross. And now as their king, He continues to apply those blessings to them, to work in them, and to grow them. This, of course, is the faithfulness of Jehovah God to His covenant with believers and their seed, as He's pleased to gather His children from amongst our children. And it's in that knowledge of the work of Jesus Christ that we have confidence as parents then. It's in that confidence that we pray to God, knowing that our prayers are more assuredly heard of God than we even desire these things ourselves in our heart, and we do desire them. and the confidence of the saving work of Jesus Christ, we know that God is pleased to raise up His covenant children in our midst. For the sake of Christ, He raises up, and we see that, sons who are like plants grown up in their youth, and daughters who are beautiful stones in the palace of the King. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, we have the confidence that God forgives us our sins and failures as parents. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, we'll bless our labors done in much weakness so that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. In that confidence we work, in that confidence we pray. For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work, we have true happiness and joy. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people that sees in her midst strong sons grown up as oak trees and beautiful daughters polished like stones in the King's palace. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we pray for the generations of the kingdom and church. We pray for our sons. Pray that thou wilt cause them to grow in their youth, already now as strong, healthy, fruit-bearing trees. And we pray for our daughters. We're thankful for them and the gift that they are. Pray that thou wilt cause them to serve as cornerstones, beautiful polished stones in the temple of King Jesus. We pray, Father, in dependence upon Thee, this is Thy work. We know if it was left to us that not a one of our children would be saved. So we thank Thee for Thy mercy, Thy covenant faithfulness, and for the power of Thy grace at work in our covenant children after us. We pray, humble us, Father, and in humility give to us real joy and happiness in Thy work and ultimately in Thee, our God and Father. Forgive us our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.